We've had our own trials this year. But this body has been so supportive of Candy and I through this last year. And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I don't think I could have made it without the support and the encouragement and the strength and the to keep me lined up with the Lord Jesus. You know, because when I look at the body, that's what I see. This body is an incredible body. And so from the bottom of poor Canada's heart, thank you. And better things to come. We got the prophetic word spoken to us this morning. We need to kind of stand in that and hang on. That God is for us, and He's wants to bless His people. And there is the right time. There's the right time, and God knows the timing of everything. And had a prophetic word earlier this morning about the right time. Oh. Jeanette's going to interrupt me here. Come on up.
No, just to...
Hallelujah. Something that I learned in physics, I was a physics major. We used to study problems and study systems and study things. And one thing that we did is look at... Well, one professor said, always look at the edges. Check the edge here and check the edge here. And if they both hold, things in the middle hold. But if you know the edges, if you know the ends, you know something. And you can study with a little more confidence in the middle. Well, how many of you know that we're kind of in the middle? We're kind of in the middle. So, Lord, as we take a look at Your Word today, Lord, I pray that we would be reassured in our hope and our strength in You. The solid rock, the one that doesn't move, the one that stays through the shaking. For there's only one thing that doesn't shake, and that's You. So we look to You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So... had to come up with a title, but God became man to bring man home to God. If you want to just sum up just a little purpose here from the beginning to the end, this is His plan for us. It's to bring us home. To bring us back home. It was in existence before the creation of the world. It isn't a new plan. It isn't something that was dreamt up because of man's sin. This was in God's heart before the world was ever created. So, here we are, partway home. Here's a little of the start, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. God is there from the beginning. There was no beginning without God. And we have to have that settled in our heart. If we're going to have a foundation to get through these days of when I kind of have a sense in my heart that there's blessing for this year, but there's also going to be a continuing shaking of things like political systems and whatever else might be there. But that doesn't mean that God isn't going to watch out for His people. And But we need to know that in the beginning, before any of this stuff happened, before there were kings, before there were governments, before there were systems, there was God. And He has not changed. He doesn't change. He won't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Settled. Done. Just want to say, too, that I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Scripture is true. That the Bible is inerrant. And so any of my comments have to do with the Bible being absolutely sure. And if there's anything that I might say this morning that wouldn't agree with that, please let me know. Because I want to be in the right side with God. And I want us as a church to be on the right side. But I just wanted to say that the reason I can speak with confidence is because I know the Scripture is true. I know that there's no wiggle room. That everything there is absolutely true. Even this Scripture. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. That's a true Scripture. Now, there's another place where it says, but it will not come to the church that way, because we have the prophetic voice. Okay? So don't get too concerned, but stick with the church. Stick with His body, because His true body, He says, we're a friend of His. And to a friend He discloses His secrets. But it will come. And these things will take place. Does that shake you up? The Scriptures like this bother you? That's why we need to look at them sometimes, because we need to firm up some things. I want to be firm so that I can look at this Scripture with some comfort. Not look at this Scripture with fear and trepidation and, oh my God, what am I going to do? No, look at this Scripture and say, okay, I'm fine, I'm good. I'm sitting on the rock. Let it all happen. Because it's going to happen. Here we see that the earth and its works do not exist till the end. That's not one of the end points. Okay? That's a middle point. The earth and everything, that's not at the end. It doesn't hold true till the end. There's got to be something more. We know that God was there in the beginning. John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not what? In other words, things will perish. There's going to be a perishing. There's going to be a time when things perish. And we just saw that in 2 Peter. But the good news is, if you believe on the Son, whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now we need to have that firmed up in our hearts. So in Colossians 3:2 it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you have died. Now get this. Your life is hid with Christ in God. Can you say that with all confidence? My life is hid with Christ in God forever. My life is hid with Christ in God. Where are you? In Christ, in God. I reside in Him. In the beginning was God, and in the end is God. The only difference is in the beginning there was God, and then there was man, and now man, for those who believe, are in God. So God increased from the beginning till the end. There was an increase. In one place it says we're His inheritance. But the truth of the matter is the two ends of the picture are God Himself. And the only thing that remains in the end is God. And are we in Him or not in Him? Because if you're not in Him, you will perish. The Scripture is pretty clear on that. So we'll just read a little more in 2 Peter 3. Since we saw that these things were going to happen, then since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, the elements will melt with intense heat, but according to His promise, we're looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What kind of people ought we to be? You know, just this morning, the cart before the horse. In Sunday school, I even made a mention of this, but this has really been a burden of mine for a long time. And Chuck said, well, let me come down to the 26th. I want you to share a little bit. And I was asking the Lord what I should share. And I think I'm going to share something along these lines if I have a couple minutes down there. But I'm really concerned that somewhere along the course of Christendom, I'll use that word too, I like that. We started maybe okay with holiness and being a new creation. Actually, a new creation and holiness. But I'm finding out that the body of Christ today can actually teach holiness without a new creation. And I'm concerned about it because we start getting it backwards. And holiness without being a new creature is religion. It's just religious activity. It has no reward, no fruit, nothing in there. You can live by God, I'm going to do this thing right and get it right, and I'm going to look good, and I'm going to be going to church every Sunday, and I'm going to pray every day, and I'm going to read the Bible every day. And, you know, you can do all those things without being born again, without actually being a new creature in Christ. No reward. Nothing in it. I'm telling you, if you're a new creature in Christ, if you've been born again, truly born again into the kingdom, and being led by the Spirit, guess how the Spirit leads you? In paths of righteousness. He leads you down holiness. He leads you in purity. You can't listen to the Spirit of God and be obedient to Him without becoming holy, pure, righteous, and doing right things. Okay? So, who's the judge? The Lord. All I'm saying is that you can actually preach a whole message that sounds really good and never come to being a new creature in Christ. And that bothers me. Because the one way the church grows in holiness, the other way it grows in religion, and it grows in frustration, and it grows in some other kind of stuff that'll drive you nuts. A new heaven. So we're in between this creation of the world and entering the new heaven and the new earth. What sort of people should we be? And that's really my question. And the answer to that is, what sort of people should we be? Those who are led by the Spirit of God. Those who are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church and obeying. That's what kind of people we need to be, because those are the children of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. So you need to believe, first of all. Be a person of faith. Two Sundays ago I was preaching on faith. Be a people that believe, because that's what God requires of His children, is to believe. Walk by faith. Wherever, if there isn't a faith, it's sin. Without faith, you can't please God. You've got to be a people who believe. But the second thing that's probably just as important is a healthy fear of the Lord. A healthy fear of the Lord. That what He says is going to happen and be true. Eternal life is true. Salvation is true. The cross is true. What happened at the cross in the blood of Jesus is absolutely true. But so is the judgment that's going to come on this earth. And all the things of it are also true. And we must choose wisely. To rob a line from a movie. Choose wisely. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I was just reading this week about a preacher of a large congregation who says, Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh. Be careful of those who want to make the flesh become the Word. And he went on to other things. And in some ways I thought, that's an interesting statement. But what he wanted to say is he wanted to keep Jesus in the flesh. He wanted to keep Jesus and His teachings in the flesh. And so hell just becomes bad behavior on earth. And heaven becomes good behavior on earth. So hell and heaven coincide on this earth. And it all depends on your behavior. Wow. Jesus never intended to remain in the flesh. He never intended for you and me to remain in the flesh. That was the whole point of the gospel, is to get us out of the flesh. He became flesh to overcome it, not to remain in it. So, He doesn't remain in the flesh, and He doesn't want you to remain in the flesh. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So why did Jesus have to come in the flesh? Interesting statement here. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know Him thus no longer. So here we are. Paul is telling us, don't look at people according to the flesh. And don't look at Jesus according to the flesh. But this therefore, you know, I gotta go back a little bit here. So let's just, I'm not going to put it up on the screen, but back in verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this. The love of Christ controls me, or controls us, having concluded this one thing. What is that? That one died for all, therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. So there's those who have died and there's those who live. It's a choice between death and life. Those who are in Christ are alive. Those who are not in Christ are dead. Judgment has already come at the cross for everybody in the flesh. There's no hope. Like Rocky said, there's no hope. In my flesh lies no good thing. There's no hope. I can't fix it. I can't straighten it up. I can't do anything to get it right. The only hope I have is to be born again and receive His life. That's the only hope we have. We don't have hope to get it right and to do better other than being born again, being led by the Spirit, because then you get it right. You get it right when you follow the Lord. When you follow Him, that's when you get it right. You won't get it right otherwise. You may do right things, but you won't get it right. You may do righteous things, or what you call righteous, but it won't be right. It's being born again, being led by the Spirit of God, obedient to Him. For in my flesh I can do no good thing. He died for all. Therefore all die. The judgment has already come on the flesh. But those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again in their behalf. God come to save your soul. He come to save your soul. He didn't come to save the life in the flesh. Your life in the flesh dies, and Jesus comes in. So Galatians says true, right on. It says, I no longer live. I was crucified with Christ. It's over. But now I've been born again. I've received a new life. The life of Christ has entered into me. Myself, which is contained in my soul, still wants to have its way, by the way. I don't know about you, but that soul power, that soul still wants to rise up and say, I want my way. But no longer live for yourself, but hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what He's saying. You might say, well, man, that's a funny kind of life. It isn't. He makes it easy. All you have to do is surrender your life to Him. He's with you every day. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm with you 24/7. All you got to do is stop doing your own thing and listen to Him. I mean, it's not, well, it's probably harder than I'm making it, because really we want to do it my way. I want to have my own life. I want to make my own agenda. I want to be able to write down what I'm going to do today, and I don't want to listen to anybody else. Don't tell me what to do. That's what the young 18-year-old said when he graduated from college. Don't tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm going to join the Marines. Well, when he got off the bus there, someone was telling him what to do. But we really don't want to be told what to do. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God has it right. He has your interest in mind, and He wants to lead you down paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He wants you to get it right. But we need to surrender to Him. God has something so dynamic beyond the flesh. If we could only grab onto that, then by faith we could look at people and we could say, I love this world because I know what God has in store for it. What God has in store for you. I love this world. I love it. And I want the best for the people of this world. Instead of getting caught up in the sin, instead of getting caught up in everybody's mistakes, and instead of getting caught up in what the flesh has done in somebody else, we see beyond that. And we see the purposes of God to bring people home, salvation, to bring people back to God. And we have that hope in mind for everybody. Man was stuck in his sin, a slave, destined to perish. There was no way to be reconciled back to God in man's efforts. Man could not do enough good to make it happen. That's why Jesus was sent, to become man, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Let's go on a little more in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. If anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, may I ask, how do we get into Christ? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. We must become a new creature. You've got to be born again. You don't get to keep your old flesh and walk it out in the Spirit. No, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are gone. Behold, new things have come. My hope today is that we can take seriously the times we're in and walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's how it happened. You might say, how did I get into Christ? The Scripture tells us how it happened. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, for He, the Father, rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's how it happened. The Father made a way. The Father made a way through the Son, through the cross, that He put to death in us our sinful flesh. And He gave us a new spirit, which is holy, blameless, and beyond reproach in the Lord, because it's Himself. God Himself has come to dwell in man. He come to dwell in me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, that's greater than any kind of sci-fi fiction movie you can ever think about. This is something wonderful, that Christ Himself, God Himself, is dwelling in man, in you. You have the Spirit of the living God in you. I mean, that's beyond your wildest dreams. The one who created the whole universe dwells in us. We must see that the Father, through the Son, qualified you. You know, I used to have to get qualified in the service, fitness. They qualified you by your actions. And I was talking to my daughter, our daughter, Abby, is running, and she's doing about a 10-minute mile. I remember in the service with our pack and just our whatever we needed, the ammunition and stuff, we had to run an 8-minute mile to qualify. But you had to do it. You had to do it. Somehow I think the church still thinks it's got to do it. You have to somehow be qualified. And if you're not qualified, you better get your act together. And in fact, I mentioned this before, Steve Rude kind of enlightened me to that. When you see someone backslidden, you say, you know, you should get right with God. What a funny statement is that? He didn't get right with God the first time. What gives him the power to get right with God now? You get right with God because what happened at the cross, not because of your actions. You didn't get right with God the first time to get saved. A better answer is put your faith back in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you. Put your faith in Him. Because the Father has qualified you through the Son to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I get excited about this because it's such a great hope. And there's nobody gets left out if you just put your faith in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you realize that the way has been open for you to be born again through the resurrection? Jesus did not remain in the flesh. He died. He rose again. A new creation. 1 Corinthians 15 says He's the second man, a life-giving spirit. The first man became a living soul. The second man, or the last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. But He's the second creation. Either you're in Adam or you're in Christ. There's one way or the other. If you remain in Adam, you remain in the flesh. By faith, you enter in to the things of the Lord. By faith, Joseph, or Jacob, blessed his kids. By faith, Abraham left everything. It was counted to him as righteousness. By faith, by believing, That's the way it's always been and the way it always will be. By faith we enter into the things of God. Everyone who believes in Him is now able to pass through death to be born again, just as Christ passed through death and was the firstborn from the dead. That's what the Scripture says. We who believe are no longer of the first creation, which is passing away and will be destroyed. But we are a new creation and our life is hid with Christ in God. I put in here, I beg you, be firmed up in your faith of who you are in Christ. And set your mind on heavenly things, not on earthly things. I'm just about done here. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Who got that ministry? Did you get it? He gave it to us. If you haven't got the ministry of reconciliation, take it today. Grab hold of it today. Because He gave this ministry to you. He reconciled us, then He gave us this ministry. But some of us don't want that because, namely, here it is. Here's the ministry of reconciliation of which He gave you. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And He's committed to us this word of reconciliation. That kind of blows it out of the water for those of you who want to hold a grudge against somebody and still be a Christian. If you're going to be a Christian, you don't get to hold trespasses against anyone. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you have to get rid of the offense. There is no place to hold unforgiveness. In fact, the Lord says, if you choose to not forgive, He says, then I cannot forgive you. Or will not. In a couple different places. The ministry of reconciliation is seeing beyond sin. You got to see that the cross is true and that the blood of Jesus took away the sins of the whole world, that you have a ministry to the people so that they know that they have salvation in Him. And it's not about their good behavior or their bad behavior. You know the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's all bad. We've been reconciled with God through the blood of Jesus, which took away the sin. And He gave you the right or the power to be born again and to become children of God. Wow. That's a message for the world. If we're still stuck holding sins against someone, our message will lack in power. If you're still holding grudges against anyone, the message of the gospel loses its effectiveness through your voice. So just get rid of them. What is there to hang on to? What is there to hang on to? What justification can you come up with through what Jesus has done at the cross for you to hold on to something against somebody? Did they do something really bad to you? Did they do something a little bit bad? I mean, I've heard it all. Somebody has done something wrong to me. One way or another. And it can be as little as there was one marriage that broke up because they had an argument about if the bananas were ripe or rotten. I mean, how silly can we get? But then we can get down to, well, this one murdered my wife or murdered my kid. Well, now it's a little more serious. Is the blood of Jesus and is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ greater than that? It says in Hebrews chapter 12 that the blood of Jesus cries out louder than the blood of Abel. Wow. That was the first murder, by the way, Cain and Abel. And the blood of Abel was crying out to God. It says the blood of Jesus is greater than murder. Am I advocating murder? I certainly am not. But sin has been dealt with at the cross, and sin was dealt with by the blood of Jesus once and for all. We cannot be holding offense and expect God to move in our midst. We must forgive one another. We must not hold an offense. You might be holding an offense against your dad. You might be holding an offense against your brother. You might be holding an offense for some reason or another. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian, you're born again. You live in a new kingdom. You've got it all. Everything's been given to you. Give it up. Give up your offense. Give up your grudge, whatever you might have against somebody. The Scripture says, whatever you have against anyone, forgive them. Forgive them. God has set us free from sin. If we're going to have the ministry of reconciliation, we need to set other people free from their sin, not holding it against them. But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you can just get this for a minute. Except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is there circumcision anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. It's all about being a new creature in Christ. It's all about where we live, where we dwell. Have you been transferred into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is that where you reside? Is that where your faith statement is? Or are you still living in this world, in the flesh, trying to be a good Christian? I'm telling you, be a new creature in Christ. Follow the Lord, and the rest will take care of itself. Your holiness, your purity, everything else will take care of itself. But you follow the Lord and have mercy for everybody who doesn't. Micah 6:8 says, this is what the Lord requires of you. Do justly. Yeah, do it right. And justice is all about hearing the Lord and doing His will. But then it says, love mercy. Well, I love mercy for myself. But love mercy means I gotta love mercy for everyone. When people aren't doing it right, I need to be a merciful person, not a judgmental person. Having mercy. And the last one is walk humbly. Walk humbly. Don't think you got it so good. Don't think you're so arrogant. Don't think you got it all right. Or me. The world has been crucified to me. We're no longer affected by this present darkness. We're no longer affected by this present darkness. We are no longer affected by this present darkness. A Christian is free. A Christian dwells in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And he is no longer affected by the sins of this world. It's been crucified to him. It's over. It's done. I dwell in heaven with God. Ephesians says, I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places. I mean, how much clearer do we need it where we are and where we reside? The real question is, are we a new creation? Are we a new creation? Have old things pass. Have new things come. Am I really the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Is my life hid with Christ in God? This is it. I gotta deal with this because when we're speaking for God, we gotta speak for God. If we're gonna speak for God, we gotta speak for God. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to become sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Are you an ambassador? That's what the Scripture says you are. And an ambassador gets to speak only what the one who sent him to be an ambassador has said. He can't make up his own words. He can only speak that which was given him to say. You can't just be out there speaking your own thing about what it is. You have to speak as an ambassador. If you aren't speaking as an ambassador, you might get fired. You can't speak for me. I mean, if you were over spreading communism in the name of America and someone found out about it, they'd probably say, hey, you're not my ambassador. If you're going to use the name of Jesus in your prayer or whatever else, use the name of Jesus reflecting what Jesus is and who He is. Don't be just using His name in vain. Which is a commandment, by the way. Through the cross, God put to death the first creation in order to establish a new creation. His blood took away your sin and sealed the covenant, which was established by Jesus to give us eternal life. The message is, be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who we are. But I'm telling you, forgiveness of sins is a big deal. That's not a trivial thing in the body of Christ. It was what God took away. We heard that earlier. Rocky gets up and shares this whole thing of, He took away my sin. Wonderful. Are you ready to give up and release the sins of others? Can you do that? Can we do that? If we're really a new creature in Christ, the world has been crucified to us, and we no longer need to hang on to offense. But we can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. We can stand with one another, and we can stand with the lost. We can stand with the world, and we can actually have hope for the world. Hope. We need hope for one another. Let's not be biting one another, devouring one another. But let's hope for one another. Let's be encouraging to one another. The Scripture says, encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily. And it says, encouragement also will keep you from deception. Be careful, brethren, that you don't fall in some deception. But encourage one another. But just encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them to follow the Spirit. You don't know what they should do any more than you know what you need to do. So don't get your eyes off of what they're supposed to do and put your encouragement in. Follow the Lord. Follow the Spirit. Because if you look at what they're doing, if you look at what one another's doing, you will start seeing sin. You'll start focusing on sin, of which Jesus took away. And He forgave us our sin. We need to forgive one another. Don't wait to be asked. It is not about them ask, well, if they would ask me, I'd forgive them. No, just forgive them. Just do it. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in that whole thing. And I believe that the Lord wants to bring revival. But He wants us to have freedom in that. He wants to set everybody free to come into what the Lord has called them to do, what the Lord's called you to do. Everybody's got a place, but we need to set people free and not be judgmental. Not be judgmental. Now, that doesn't mean that we preach a sloppy gospel. I'm talking about letting people walk out their own salvation with fear and trembling, like I do. And I'm not, you know, it's not that I get it right every day, but I have hope. I have hope that Jesus is leading me in paths of righteousness. And who I am? I'm no longer Steve Thompson in the flesh. I'm Steve Thompson, born again in the Spirit. I belong to God. I'm a child of God. And He has the best plan for me, and He has the best plan for you. Father, I thank You this day, Lord, that You had a plan for us from the beginning, that God, You were there in the beginning and You're there in the end, and we have got to come home to You. You've allowed us to come home through Jesus. You've redeemed us through the blood of the Lamb, and You have caused us to be born again into a living hope. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, I pray for revelation for all of us, greater revelation on who we are in Christ, that we might walk with a boldness, and we might walk with assurance of who we are. We might walk with assurance so that others would say, "Why are you so sure?" And we'd have an answer. We'd have an answer, and we could boast of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could boast of the cross, of what happened at the cross. We could boast about that and say, "I have entered in, that the Father has taken me back home because I've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's true for me and it's true for you. So, Father, thank You. Thank You that You have saved us. Thank You for Your salvation. Blessed be Your name. Blessed be Your name. And, Lord, continue to walk it out with us. And Lord, I just want to say, Lord, thank You for sharing with us this morning the prophetic words and all the things that come, that we would have hope that we, as a child of God, will never be outside of Your blessing and Your care and Your provision. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just have a sense, I know it's getting late, but if someone needs healing this morning, please come up. I've just got a sense in my heart that there's been someone sitting here that really the Lord's been speaking to you about healing, and we want to pray for you this morning. In fact, we can do that right after the service here, okay? So if the Lord's been speaking to you this morning about being healed of something, come on up right after the service and we'll pray for you, okay? So, Lord, just bless each one as we go today, Lord, and encourage us, Lord, and strengthen us in Your Word, and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.